Need to watch what I'm saying now.
I apologize. This is Patricia Reynolds. My camera is not working, but I will fool around with it as I proceed. But
oh, sure. You just don't want to be on camera, Patricia. That's a great excuse.
My video's on. Anyway, proceed. I'm here.
We just see the black square.
That's right.
And it looks like Rebecca likes this meeting so much she wants to be on here twice.
Am I having connectivity problems? So I'm using multiple devices. I don't know which things work. So I appreciate people bearing with me.
I just like to bust your chops a little bit.
That's okay.
So we're still waiting for a couple more of the committee members to join. So we'll give it a few more minutes. I do have 3 o'clock, but we'll wait. Do we know who is the 909 phone number that is calling in? Renee, I don't know if you can tell who that is.
It's Dwight.
I'm sorry?
It's Dwight.
Dwight.
All right.
I had a feeling it's Dwight. I'm going to change his name on the screen so that way you know who's talking.
Okay. So I will give Mr. Vall just a minute or two left. We do have four of us, so that would be a quorum. So
it's fine.
Give him a minute.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, how you doing, Fazio?
Very good. Happy New Year to everyone.
To you, too.
Thank you.
Warren, you do have quorum, so you're good.
All right. Well, then maybe if someone wants to text Mr. Vall and see if he's joining or not, but we'll go ahead in the interest of time. We'll go ahead and get this meeting called to order. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. So I do have a little flag back there in case anybody needs it, but ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice
for all.
All right. Well, thank you for everyone for being here. As we mentioned, we do have a quorum of four today. Here, Vice Chair Petty had a work commitment come up at the last minute, so she may join, but depending, I told her hopefully the meeting will not go that long, and so she will not be able to make it, but if her commitment ends, then she'll join late. And then for some of you who may or may not know in the public, committee member Philip Falcone resigned from the committee. So we have that opening. So there are only six members on the committee currently. And then Mr. Vall is currently absent, but four has a quorum, so we can go ahead and get started with the business. So that brings public comment will be the first item on the agenda. You are invited to participate by public comment via the email address of cboc@rcc.edu. Renee, was there any public comment that was submitted?
No, we did not receive any public comments.
Okay. And there's nobody's trying to get through the YouTube channel or anything like that at this point?
Mark, have you received any comments via YouTube?
Renee, I don't believe he can answer through this portal.
Let me double check real quick, Warren.
Okay. Sorry for the delay.
I do not see any. I think we're okay.
Okay. Well, then we will move forward. Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. We were going to put this as a test, I think, to see if anybody caught it. But the minutes were not part of the agenda packet. So we are not able to approve those minutes. So we will just wait until the next meeting and approve them at that time. So we will skip number three and move on to item number four, which is the Measure C financial update. Who from staff will be presenting that today? Mr. Brown, please.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say a couple words. Meg Askar will be giving the reports, but this will be her last time for a while. She has been named the interim vice president of business services for Merion Valley College. So, but since she's intimately familiar with these next two reports, she's going to be presenting them. And then I'd like to introduce Misty Griffin, who will be filling in for Meg until we fill the interim director of business services position with Meg's vacancy. So with that, go ahead, Meg.
Ms. Askar, you're still on mute.
Thank you. I don't see the shared document. It must be my screen.
I don't see it either.
I can't see it.
Hold on 1 second. Let me pull up the agenda for you guys.
While that's being pulled up, just for Renee or whoever's taking the minutes, it looks like Mr. Ball has joined us. How you doing, Mr. Ball? Good to see you. So we have five committee members here now.
Great. Okay. So the project commitment summary report that you see before you is a financial report with a summary of activities as of December 31, 2020. The highlighted sections will reflect the financial transactions that took place since the last report on October 2020, at that October 2020 meeting. So the first thing you'll see is a reduction in cash on hand. And that is attributed to the expenses that were paid out. The main expenses are related to the Student Services Welcome Center project. We had the Ben Clark Training Center status project as well. and greenhouse building at the Riverside City College. So the main expenses are related to those three large projects that we have ongoing now. You'll also see that we have an increase to the total proceeds, and that is reflected due to the budgeted amount that we had budgeted for fiscal year 2021 for projected revenue. And that is in the amount of $376,000. You'll see that increase. Also, you'll see in the report detail that there were changes to the budget of some of the projects. And that is because we took a project closeout and reconciliation at the November 17 board. And with that, we closed out some projects that realized savings. And I'll go in detail on the next spreadsheet in regards to that. Those project closeouts, you can continue going down, please scroll down. Reflected are the Riverside Student Services Building Project, the Culinary Arts and District Office Project, Norco Soccer Field Turf Replacement Project, and closeouts for the Riverside City and Norco Master Plan Updates. So again, any of the highlights that you see are reflecting either expenses that were made, payments that were made for those projects, ongoing projects, and some of the highlights also in the budget column reflect the project closeout for the reconciled budget to actual of those projects. The remaining pages detail those. Any questions on this report?
I don't see any questions. Any questions from the committee members? All right. All right. I think we're good on this one. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Askar, are you doing the next report as well, or?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
These two reports go hand in hand, and we reconcile on a monthly basis to make sure that these both reports are reconciled. On this capital project executive summary report,
it's page 15, Renee.
There we go. Perfect. The capital project executive summary report, refer to it as CPES report. This budget document is used to keep track of the projects that have been sent and approved by the Board of Trustees for funding. And it also keeps track of the budget by college versus centrally controlled by the district office. We use this report as a planning tool. This report before you reflects budget changes for the period of October 1, 2020 through December 31, 2020. As mentioned before, we had a project and a reconciliation and budget closeout at the November 2020 board. You'll see those reflected in here as well. The three items related to the project closeout is the project savings and reconciliation, which again reconciles the Board of Trustees approved Measure C project budget with actual project closeout expenditures. The net project shown on the project closeout is $303,324. This amount will be used, the unused amount allows us to reallocate for future projects. Next page. You'll see the details by college. I'm sorry, can you go back to the first page? It might be easier for me just to go off the summary page. The pages behind the summary page details it by college, but I also wanted to note that we also took to the November board the amount needed to remove the Norco College budget shortfall. We've known for quite some time that Norco College had a budget shortfall, and that stemmed from the initial allocation. As you know, when the bond measure passed in 2004, Riverside Community College District was a single college with a multi-campus, at which time the Measure C funds were allocated by entity. In 2010, we transitioned to a three college district, and in that same year, the Board of Trustees approved the recommended list of prioritized projects along with the Measure C funds per entity. By that time, Norco College projects has already been approved by the board and have either been completed or were in progress. At that time, it was determined that the Norco College Measure C allocation was not sufficient to cover the approved project and it was overcommitted. This report will also see an adjustment to Norco College's deficit that was made from the centrally controlled in the amount of $2,589,291. Finally, you'll see that there is interest income earned in 1920, totaling $453,790. That's been added so that we can allocate it per entity. If you scroll on to the detailed pages, you'll see that by college reflected on what we just discussed now. Does anyone have questions in regards to this report?
Any questions from the committee members? Seeing none. Ms. Oscar, I just have just a quick follow-up on the budget deficit at Norco College, $3,500. So that was identified in 2010, and then we were just kind of waiting to see what the actual cost of the committed projects came out to be. And now that all the projects are done, we recognize that there was a shortfall in 2010. We kind of waited, and then the actual shortfall was $3,500. Is that?
It was actually 2.5 million.
Oh, okay.
So you're right. There was a deficit we were carrying. We wanted to see if there was going to be, there was new interest income that was realized in those years that was towards their deficit. And of course, project closeout as well. When we got to a point where we felt that we can go ahead and use the centrally controlled to augment, we went ahead and did that by the 2.5 million. But this will change as well, only because we'll have new interest income earned throughout in future years. So we'll continually reconcile the Norco College budget along the way.
So the interest income will then go towards that still that deficit that shows. That's where you'll just put that. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important to note too that even though once the college by college distribution or allocation was made, that there were a number of projects that were in process or were still to be undertaken by Norco College. And in order to understand the full amount of the deficit, those projects had to go to completion. So it took a period of years to be able to accomplish that.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it. Any other questions from committee members? Ms. Oscar, thank you on behalf of the committee for the report, and congratulations to you on, I guess, your promotion and your new responsibilities.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Warren.
All right, so we will move on to the next item, which are the project's updates and board reports.
Good evening, everyone. This is Hussein Aga, Associate Vice Chancellor of Facilities Planning and Development. We have two board reports this period. The first one is the budget reconciliation report that went to the board in November 17. I think Majda did a great job on explaining all the details in the financial report a minute earlier. If you have any question on this one, I believe we would be able to answer it. But that's exactly what Majda went over earlier.
Okay, so I don't think I'll make sure that nobody has any questions or anything on this agenda item.
I'm good. Right.
Seeing none, then I think we'll move to letter B, which is the project summary status update.
There's another board report. I apologize. This one, another board report, which is CEQA, which is California Environmental Quality Act, notice of exemption for our Riverside City College Life Science Physical Science Project. And that board went to the board, and that report went to the board in December 8th and got approved. Every time we have a construction project, we do a fine environmental analysis. And for this particular project, it's reconstruction. The buildings were built in 1968 and 1967. The buildings are not historical. However, we still had to go through the process. The consultant only identified a mural that's located on the north wall of the first floor of the life science building to be a historical resource. And we are keeping that historical resource within the building. It's part of the American Chinese heritage and was completed by professor of Riverside City College, Dr. Sam Hong, in 1975. If you are interested to see that wall, Renee, you can go to page 93. Yep, that's 93. Yes, it's right there on the first floor.
Okay. This is Dwight. I really appreciate your preserving Dr. Sam Wong's mural. It's fabulous.
Absolutely, absolutely, and indeed, this this wall is registered by in the state website, the state website, and also the county. And I believe it needs to be reserved and maintained in the future. So there will be no impact to it moving forward.
Great.
Any question on
this? Any other questions or comments from committee members? All right, seeing none, thank you, Mr. Aga.
Thank you. Next is the project update. This is the facility. Yeah, this is the Measure C current, current and future projects update. We'll start off with Riverside City College. The first project is the life science, physical science. The project is currently in the design phase. This is a state-funded project. We submitted the prelim planning document to the State Chancellor Office last December. We're working with the state in order to get the prelim planning approved to move on to the next phase. So hopefully we'll learn by end of the month or early next month. During the prelim planning, we encountered a couple of issues and a budget shortfall associated with the structural seismic upgrade and the hazmat abatement. As I mentioned earlier, these buildings were built in 1967-68. So there's a lot of code-related issues. We are currently working with the state in order to have an augmentation to the project, and we received a favorable response last week, and we hope that we will get some support from the state in order to augment the large portion of the shortfall. The next project is the greenhouse building. We are about 95% in the construction phase. Original plan was this project to be done in December, but we encountered a few delays associated with COVID-19 issues, mainly the late deliveries of some of the equipment and some of the COVID-19 cases on site. However, we're over 95% at this point, and we anticipate the completion by end of this month. Marina Valley College, Student Services Welcome Center. This project currently in the construction phase. We are about 40% complete. The project only experienced 10 days delays, and I think that was due to the that was basically in summer last year due to the Southern California Edison mandatory shutdown, obviously from the state mandatory shutdown, which ended up shutting several concrete plant, and which causes a little bit of delay. We believe these delays are mitigatable in the near future, and we are working towards that. We understand that COVID-19 has an impact to major deliveries. However, we started the procurement process for the FF&E package just so we can mitigate any potential delays in the future. The Ben Clark Training Center Phase 1, or Education Building Phase 1, this project, the design was completed in November last year and was submitted to the Division of State Architect for review. It's about 6 to 9 month review process by DSA. So currently under review by DSA, and we hope we get the final approval and permit in June, July this year. Elevator and fire alarm. The elevator modernization is complete pending DSA certification. And the fire alarm will bid out by the end of the month. And lastly, at Norco College, we have the soccer field and artificial turf replacement. The field replacement was completed last year. However, the only pending item is the walkway accessibility improvement that we received DSA last year, and the project will be bid out by end of January. That concludes my presentation on this report, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee members? I do have one question on the life sciences building. What happens if the state does not pick up the shortfall of the $3.5 million? Then what?
Well, we've got assurance that they are going to pick up. Is it 76% of the total amount? And I think the amount is $3 million, not $3.5 million, right?
That's correct.
So there's about a $700,000 differential, which we would have to pick up in any event, because that's the split on a state-funded project. So we've already identified that funding source to be able to pay for that rest of that amount.
All right, so it won't come from the bond money, it'll come from a different source?
Hussein, do you know where that funding source is?
To be honest, I think most likely it's going to be either workforce development or some other sources, you know, like the local resources other than the bond, yes.
Yeah, I don't believe their RCC has any bond money left to be able to put towards the project, so it would be coming from other sources.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Any other questions, comments from the committee? Mr. Gott, thank you very much on behalf of the board or on behalf of the committee for your report. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on to item number 6. Business from the committee members, the ad hoc bylaws, ad hoc committee presentation. The ad hoc committee, we met. The ad hoc committee consisted of myself, Ms. Risby, and Mr. Vol. We met back in, I think it was December, right? Seems like so long ago. There was a couple things that we talked about, and we discussed the needs and why we were getting together. And after looking over the bylaws, we came up with a couple items that we would like to propose to the committee for your approval for us to take to the board to present to change the bylaws. Ms. Goldware, I know you had some comments. Did you want to wait till after I just go through the proposed changes, or do you want to do it first?
I can wait until after. That's fine.
Okay. I didn't know where you wanted to do it. So, all right, so the first item that the ad hoc committee is recommending is on section 5.6 of the current bylaws, which is removal and vacancy. You'll see on the screen the proposed or the current changes or the current reads that The board may remove any committee member for any reason. The ad hoc committee felt that that was important to change, that only a committee member could be moved for cause. And so that is the change that we're recommending, to strike any reason from the bylaws and change that for cause. So we'll go through, I think I'll just go through all three of the changes, let Ms. Goldberg make her comments, and then I'll open up for questions or comments from committee members or anybody else that may have a question. So that was proposed change number one. Proposed change again was, oh, I'm getting all mixed up here. I missed one, sorry. I skipped the first one, which was on the appointment side, which is section 5.5. We thought it was important that the committee, the current committee members, took a look at the applications. There has been talk in the past of committee members or people that applied, whether they qualified, whether they didn't qualify, who all applied for the committee. And we thought it was important to have an ad hoc committee created to review any applications for potential openings. And then we would, that ad hoc committee would review, evaluate those submitted applications, and then provide a recommendation to the staff. And then staff would then go about. So we just added a subsection C to the bylaw 5.5 of that formation of the ad hoc committee to review and evaluate all submitted applications. And then last, we noticed in section 6.1, in the section regarding meetings and when they would occur, the current bylaw reads that we must meet at least once a year, but we may not meet more frequently than quarterly. Since we are scheduled to meet quarterly currently, we decided that we should recommend that we strike, but may not meet more frequently than quarterly. And just add the sentence at the end that meetings will be scheduled to occur once per quarter. And then we added subsection I there, which states that a special meeting may be called at any time by the committee chairperson in order to conduct business that was not completed or cannot wait until regularly scheduled quarterly meetings. So I will open it up to my fellow ad hoc committee members, Mr. Vall, Ms. Rizvi, if you have any other comments regarding these changes or any other questions from committee or staff. All right, I don't hear any questions. So Ms. Goldware.
Thank you. Good afternoon. After reviewing the proposed changes, I'd like to share just the following comments in relation to section 5.5. As noted in the bylaws and Prop 39, the charge of the CBOC is to actively review and report on the proper expenditure of taxpayer money for school construction. The duties of the committee are defined in section 3 and are limited to items 3.1 through 3.3. Further, it specifies that the CBOC members are to refrain from those activities set forth in section 3.4 and 3.5. 3.57 states the appointment or reappointment of qualified applicants to serve on the committee. In conferring with legal counsel, we were further advised that since the Education Code exclusively reserves the power of committee appointments to the Board of Trustees, only the board can determine the process of selecting and reappointing members to the committee. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that, I mean, I'll let my fellow colleagues on the committee, but since we are just putting our recommendations, right, we're not the ones actually making those final appointments. It's just adding a step to the review process. I will leave that in the vote of the committee members. Do any comments or thoughts, or does anybody want to make a motion to accept, deny, all in part of the recommendations?
I just wanted to clear that we were as a committee were making recommendations. That's it, right?
Yep. And my understanding, Ms. Rizvi and Ms. Goldware, and to everyone, is that we will, if the committee, whichever ones of these that our committee we approve, we would then go to the board and they would have the final say of whether or not these bylaws actually would change. So just because that we accept here doesn't mean the board, they may say, hey, no good on, you know, that 5.5, and they may accept the others, but we as a committee could still recommend these changes to be made. Is that a correct, understanding, Mr. Golder? Okay.
This is Patricia Reynolds. Does inserting this step in any way violate the state requirements and will cause any problems down the road? I understand that we're saying we don't have the final vote, but just the fact that it's in our bylaws that that's going to happen, does that violate state regulations?
I don't believe that it violates a statute. I will need to validate that. It does contradict other sections of the bylaws, and it would potentially abdicate or subjugate staff recommendations in the process that is defined in those duties to the board and chancellor.
Why would adding?
If that's the case, then what do you suggest?
I think Mike was getting ready to say something, but then I can answer Fazia's question.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to be assumptive in Mike's question, but the duties are split and they're separated within the bylaws within 3.1 through 3.3 for the activities assigned to members of the committee. And then the duties of the board slash chancellor, i.e. the institution, are defined in 3.4 or 3.5. And that is a defined item of task for, I'm going to refer to it generally as staff. So, Fazia, to answer your question, I don't believe the addition of C is necessary.
Okay. Any other, I guess I just, I totally respect that. I guess I don't see the harm of adding that. I mean, the staff could say, hey, we got our own recommendation and we don't care what you guys think. You know, it's just one more step. And I'm not saying you would say that, Ms. Goldberg, trust me, but right, it's just another step of making sure that people that want to serve on the committee have the ability, and they know their applications are being seen and being evaluated. And that's all. So
I think that's part of it, is it's being evaluated outside of the institution, and there's a confidentiality component. We don't just share all of your information. So some of that is kept in place. And because those activities are not defined within your charge, they're not captured in some of the other aspects of the bylaws or the duties like in the ethics section. So is it possible, probable? Yes. I would need to look into further implications within the bylaws that might need to be changed or addressed if this piece is accepted and goes forward.
I can see the confidentiality part being an issue.
I can see that. I would imagine, and I don't know if, like, you know, some of the address and phone numbers could be, you know, redacted, and, you know, some of that information that's similar, like when our applications are put out there, you redact our personal information, the name and then the answers to the questions. I would think that the ad hoc committee would be fine. We don't want to see that. It would just be who and then how do they answer, what organizations do they represent, you know, that type of thing. So any other questions, comments from the committee members? We can vote on these individually if you would like, or I would entertain a motion individually for each one of the items, or like I said, all in part. I'll entertain any motion that's out there.
This is Patricia Reynolds. Is there anything else on the other two changes from staff with concerns?
It's not a concern. You already operate under Brown Act, so the call out for the special meeting isn't necessary, but it's not an issue.
What about the removal about requiring cause? And I guess that's, you know, what is cause for one person is not cause for another person. That's a little subjective.
Right.
Well, I think that, you know, Ms. Reynolds, I think what we are going for, there is a couple items that are mentioned in the current bylaws that failure to attend two consecutive meetings without a reasonable excuse would be considered cause. Failure to comply with the committee ethics policy would be considered cause. And I would think that if you were going to have to change, if you have to say what the cause is for removal, that would have to be put out in it during a board meeting or when that discussion was going to be made. And so you would find out the reason, the committee member would find out a reason for their removal by adding that. I think in the current definition, any reason, it could be anything, right? They don't like a vote. They don't like whatever, right? It could be for any reason. And I think our ad hoc committee was concerned with that wording, that it gave too many openings for not proper cause.
Don't grab Rebecca's parking spot.
That's right. Does that answer your question, Ms. Reynolds?
Yes, sort of, yeah.
Warren, I'll make a motion that we accept all three and from the committee and let the board do with them what they will.
All right. Do we have a second? I will second it. So, all right. So there we go. So we got a first. We have a motion by committee member Vall to accept all three of the proposed changes to present to the Board of Trustees for their final approval. I have seconded it. I will go through and we'll do the vote. Vice Chair Petty is absent, so hers doesn't count. Member Reynolds?
Yes.
Member Rizvi?
Yes.
Member Tate?
Yes.
Member Vall?
Yes.
And I also will vote yes. So that is a 5-0 vote that passes. So Ms. Goldberg, we'll work on the next steps on how we present that to the board. All right. Thank you guys for that discussion. That is all on the agenda. The only other thing that's not on there that I'll add is if there's any other items from the committee members that they would like to make sure is on the next agenda for discussion. Okay. I don't hear any. Then look at that, record time within an hour. Thank you, staff. Thank you, committee members, for your time. And we'll call this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.